So I wonder what comes into your mind when you hear the word family. Hopefully today of all days for Alan and Vicky, it will be very special. But of course, family life can sometimes be difficult. I'm sure there will be at least some people here who could identify with what the American comedian George Burns said. Happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city. Family life can be a real joy, but at times it might not seem like that. And of course, even the most famous of families can have their struggles. I wonder if anybody's ever had a mealtime like that. I don't feel that you have to say. The joys of family life. But what's that got to do with us being here this morning? Well, for the last few weeks here at Christchurch, we've been thinking about being disciples of Jesus. You might kind of hear that and think, well, surely the disciples of Jesus were just the people who followed him around when he was on earth. But although we often do refer to Peter, Andrew, James, and John as the rest, and the rest as the disciples, it's a word which means much more than just them. One of the last things Jesus told them was that they were to go into all the world and make other disciples, others who, like them, would follow Jesus, and so on, right down to today. Because a disciple is really just a follower. So really, it's another way of saying a Christian, someone who is following Jesus. And as a church, our purpose is making disciples, growing disciples, and being disciples. And the thing with being disciples, with being followers of Jesus, is that it isn't just about what happens in church on Sunday morning. It involves the whole of life. So after the last few Sundays, we've thought about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple at work, or at leisure, out in the community, in our relationships. And this morning, as Alan and Vicky have brought Matilda for baptism, we're going to think about being disciples in our families, especially thinking about being parents and children. What does it mean to do that? What does the Bible have to say to parents and to children? Let's find out. Pam is going to come and read for us. If you want to grab a Bible, you'll be able to follow as she reads.
The reading is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, 1-4, can be found on page 1177 of the Pew Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
So, children, obey your parents. This is one of those verses that you tend to have a different perspective on as you grow older. At the age of 15, this seems downright unreasonable, possibly one of the most silly things the Bible says. By the time you're in your 30s, it's just become so wise. Paul, of course, is picking up on the fifth of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Good relationship between the generations is important for society. When children and parents fall out and fight, it tends to spill over to the rest of society. But if children obey their parents, that should be much less of a problem. But that has to be balanced with the other side of the relationship. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. I think we can safely say that this applies to mothers as well. So if there are any mums sitting out there, you're not off the hook. This applies. Parents are supposed not to exasperate their children. And of course, if parents are inconsistent, if they say one thing one day and something different the next, if they tick one child off for doing something, then let a brother or sister get away from it, with it, that is going to exasperate. And you will find yourself up against that all-time favorite children's comment. It's not fair. And when parents exasperate their children, it's hardly surprising if the children won't obey their parents. So, we've got some good, sensible, pretty obvious advice for parents and children. But actually, it's a bit more than just general good advice, because if you've been following in the Bible, you may have noticed I've only been saying half of what it says there. Paul doesn't just say, children, obey your parents, but children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And when he goes on to say, fathers, do not exasperate your children, he doesn't just stop there. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So you see, this isn't just general advice to society as a whole. This is Paul talking to Christians about how to live as Christians. If you were here last week, we saw that the whole of this section starts, it sort of stems back from the beginning of chapter 4, where Paul writes, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. So if you're a Christian, if you've recognized how much God's done for you, you're going to want to respond to that in the way that you live. And all that Paul writes here is about how to do that. And kind of the overarching thing is submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So as Christians, we should put one another first rather than demanding that others do what we want. And in families, children do that by taking what their parents say seriously, and parents do it by being fair with their children. And it's just worth noticing, Paul didn't write, parents, make sure that your children obey you. Some of us who are parents might think it would be nice if he had said that, but he didn't actually. Paul actually wrote to children. He expected that children would be part of the church, that they would grow up being able to hear and take on board what he has to say. Now, obviously, Matilda is a bit young for that at the moment, but as she grows older, she'll need to be able to hear what the Bible says so that she can learn from it herself, just like the kids who are over in Sunday Club at the moment are doing. So kind of, here's God's blueprint for families within the church. But I think Paul was saying something a bit more than just that even. Look again at what Paul says to parents. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. What do you think is the most important thing Christian parents can do for their children? Would it be to give them a safe, secure environment to grow up in? Would it be to make sure they get the best education they can to prepare them for the future? Well, both of those things are really good and important, but I have to say they are not the most important things. The most important thing that a parent can ever do for a child is to help them to follow Jesus themselves. There is nothing, nothing that matters as much as that. But as with so much in the Christian life, that is so countercultural. I read something a few years ago. I can't remember who it was who wrote it, but it was a Christian writer who'd said how sad it is that so many Christian parents are actually more concerned about their children getting a good education than they are about their children following Jesus. And what Paul says here is a challenge to Christian parents to make sure that we don't fall into that trap. The most important thing a Christian parent can do is to help your child to follow Jesus. Now, of course, You can't make your child follow Jesus. And there will be several of us here who've got older children who have kind of gone away from following Jesus. So it's not as though parents, if they do it right, are guaranteed that their children will follow Jesus. It's not that at all, because following Jesus is a one-to-one personal thing that everybody's got to choose. But parents, Christian parents, have got to realize the importance, the priority of actually pointing their children in that direction. And believe me, that won't just come from talking to your children. It will come when your children see that Jesus is important to you. When they see that following Jesus really does mean having life and having it to the full. It will come when your children see that whatever else is going on, church is important to you. That's bringing up children in the training and instruction of the Lord. And the opposite to that is when you say that church is important, but your children see that it isn't really a priority for you. When you tell your children that the Bible's important, but they never actually see you reading it. I actually think it's when children hear you say one thing, but see you doing something different, that they get exasperated. Any child who's unsure whether they should obey you or imitate you is going to find it hard to do what Paul says here. And that's actually why earlier in this service, I asked Alan and Vicky and Matilda's godparents, will you pray for her, draw her by your example into the community of faith, and walk with her in the way of Christ? Because baptism only makes any sense in the context of parents who are committed to doing that. And so if Paul says that fathers are to do that, I think the balance is that when he tells children to obey their parents in the Lord, he's encouraging children to learn from the way their parents live their lives, to imitate their faith, to trust what mum and dad tell them about life, about Jesus, about morality, about ambition, and so on. Yes, it's important for children to obey their parents generally, but it is important that for Christian children to obey what their parents tell them about living as followers of Jesus. And actually, it spreads even wider within the church than just this is what parents and children should be doing. Because there's a sense that every one of us who is part of Christ's church are called to share in that parenting role for the children who are part of Christ's church. Children need to be looking at all of us who are grown-ups and seeing what it means to live a Christian life authentically, genuinely, positively. And if they don't see that, then we're kind of letting them down. So I wonder how all that fits with what you think about when you hear the word family. Maybe some of you are sitting there this morning thinking, this is just not relevant to me. I've not got children, or children have long since grown up and left home. Maybe it makes you feel depressed because you know you've not been very good at being a parent or being a child. Maybe it kind of all makes sense, but you know that by this time tomorrow, you will somehow have ended up being like Homer Simpson again. But actually, the great thing is that what we read here in this little bit of the Bible is actually part of a much bigger story, because really, the whole Bible is the story of the perfect parent and how he has handled his children. And that parent is God. He cares for us more than any human parent. And if as a parent you think you have trouble with your children, just think about the trouble that God has with his children. That's you and me. Although everything we have comes from him, so often we ignore him and act as if he isn't there. And yet he still cares for us and longs for us to have the sort of relationship with him that's like the perfect child-parent relationship. Although we've turned our backs on him and rebelled against him, he is the one who reaches out to us. He won't exasperate us. He won't be inconsistent or unfair. So God is actually the ultimate role model for a parent. But better than that, he's the one who can forgive us when we've messed up. He's the one who can actually help us. Being disciples in families is no different from being disciples in any other environment. It is something you just cannot do on your own. And that's why, as I said, church is so important. Because whether you've got children of your own or not, we have a responsibility together to help those who are parents. So Alan and Vicky have brought Matilda here today. And we have a responsibility now, from now onwards, after her baptism, to help them to bring Matilda up in a way that will point her to Jesus. But even more than that, when you are a disciple of Jesus, God gives you his Spirit to live in you and to help you. So this morning, as we celebrate with Alan and Vicky, here is God's word about families. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And even more important than that, here is the perfect Father, the one who gives life to the full, the one who this morning, if you're ready to turn and come to him, will welcome you regardless of what's happened in the past and will give you life to the full. Let's pray. God, our Father, we do thank you for families. We thank you so much that above that you give us this great, this amazing privilege of being able to call you our Father and to know that you care for us as a perfect Father. And this morning we want to pray for all the families who are part of Christchurch. And we pray for parents that you'll give them wisdom, patience in their parenting. We pray for children. That you'll help them to grow up, trusting and following the Lord Jesus. We pray for ourselves as a church, for all of us who are adults, that the children who are part of Christ Church will see in us those things that will help them to trust Jesus. And we do pray, above all, that you will help each of us here this morning to recognize that you long to be our Father. And that whether we've been walking with you for years or whether we've never really started doing that, this morning you'll give us grace to turn to you, to trust you, and to follow you in the way that leads to eternal life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.